Not to let the guy up here bore you to tears. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you speak to all of us today concerning our lives and this game that we're in that we call life. And I ask that you take the words I speak and empower them by your Spirit to be words for us in our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at the game of life this spring, and we have looked at the rules, keeping score, winning the inner game, who's it really in control, and taking our turn in the game. And last week we talked about survival in the rat race of the, which is the game of life. Today I want to look at the board that we play on. I have a picture of a Monopoly board, which I want to show you up here. Okay, this is a regular Monopoly game. And what we do is, if you've ever played, we go around the board and we buy property and we make money and we pay money. And sometimes we pay taxes and sometimes we pay rent or we get rent. And sometimes we help others or someone helps us. And sometimes we go to jail and sometimes we're just visiting. We travel on railroads, we pay utilities, we even land on squares where we have to take a chance now and then, kind of like life. And like life, we go around and around and around the board. Sometimes, however, life gets a little bit more complicated, so I have another Monopoly board that is a little bit more complex. This is the one that's on the front of your bulletin. How would you like to play this one? This is an interesting one. This is a triple Monopoly board and probably should be played three-dimensionally like Spock and Kirk would play three-dimensional chess in Star Trek. Now, if you study this, if you get bored, you can study it. If you study it, there are ways to maneuver between levels. And on the outside board, there's even a Decatur Street. Sometimes life gets complicated, which brings me to the board game that we all play on. I have a picture of our board. This is the board that we play on in our game, right there. It happens to be the month of May. By the way, it's empty right now, and we're in that first square up there. You'll notice it's filled with squares that represent days of our lives. These are the board squares where we make our moves and take our turns, and we live one square at a time. Now, if this were your calendar, it would tell you which square or day you are in at the moment, and it would tell you about the things that are going on in your life. Every square is an episode of your life. If this were my calendar, I would fill it with sermons I give, Bible studies I do, along with visitation, counseling, appointments, committee meetings, those things that take up my time. Those things would be things I couldn't afford to forget. Now, what doesn't show is things like meals and sleep and TV watching and calls on the phone and tons of little things that make up my days. Whatever I do has to fit inside one of these squares because, like you, I live one square at a time. And the four lines that make up each of these squares are like the walls of time that organize my life. This is the board we play on, folks. Each box has an invisible door that leads to the next square. And that door opens automatically, and I am pulled through it as if by an invisible force, and then that door closes and disappears. And I will then take my turn in that square and fill it with my busyness as I did in the square before. And you will too. You know, as I get older, the squares seem to get smaller. One day I will be pulled into a square that has no door leading to the next square. And so will you. One of those squares will be terminal, and I do not know which square it will be. And we are all of us square fillers. Most of us have a sense that our squares are very chaotic at times and stuffed with a lot of activity, a lot of times too much activity, but that we will get around to what matters most one day when things settle down. Surveys have been done by churches and ministries over the years, and when people were asked what kept them from knowing and loving God better, the number one answer was, I'm too busy. Think about your daily squares. What fills your squares? All of us have what I call have-to stuff that fills our days, don't we? We have to get things done at our jobs, businesses, office, school, or home. You have to take care of your job, meetings to attend, chaos to manage. And these add up to a full day. And if you work an 8-hour day, you have to get there and get home as well. And then you got to get ready. And you come back home and you crash. Well, except we don't crash. Then we have to buy food, prepare food, clean up, wash clothes, pay bills, mow the lawn, clean house, walk the dog, and then we crash. Except we don't crash, especially if there are kids that we have. And I'm not even going to go into that. But if you have them, you know that they're going to take up quite a bit of your square of life until that door opens to the next square and you get pulled through it. The technology that is supposed to help us becomes part of our problem and our burden. Actually, a simple technology that came into being about 60, 70 years ago, washers and dryers. You know that when they came along, the amount of time people spent doing laundry actually increased because our standards of what counts as clean went up. Therefore, ladies, you should listen to your husband when he says that that shirt or pair of pants isn't that dirty. The technology that is supposed to save us time becomes part of our burden. And how much of your square is spent on the technology that you serve? Phone calls with no people on the other end. Computers that don't work right. And they don't help you, but they hinder your day. And all that technology that just bugs us to no end. How's your daily square looking right now? It's where you take your turn in the game of life. You know, we have to maintain relationships as well. Social obligations, sports, music lessons, sleepovers, 7 minutes a day on plant and pet care. 29 minutes a day visiting with other people, 4 minutes a day on government paperwork. Then there's car time. If you happen to commute, 6 months of your life is spent at traffic lights. Commuting to work. You know, if we live in a big metropolitan, you could end up driving an hour. So we multitask while we're commuting, don't we? Talking on the cell, putting on makeup, shaving. Some of you may even brush your teeth while you're driving. Dare I say it, texting. Then there is recreation and TV and movies and hobbies and vacations and stuff like that. And some of us need to exercise, which that takes up time as well. I'm getting tired just talking about this stuff. But we're not done yet because sometimes things happen. Someone gets sick. You get sick. The car breaks down. Someone comes to visit. Emergencies in the family. Someone gets hurt. Someone dies. How inconvenient. And so it goes. I read an article someplace about someone who asked a variety of people in fields that are supposed to help us, like financial planners, physical trainers, family therapists, vocational coaches, and people like that. And they asked them, okay, how much time do I need to devote each day in your particular area just doing the minimum thing And when it was all added up together, the minimum requirements for life management totaled up to 36 hours a day. So the fact of the matter is, I know how tired you are and how busy you are, and I know how you have to juggle the have-tos that challenge you. I know because I live in the same life that you live in, and I play the same game that you do, and my squares are as full as your squares are. So I refer you back to the survey that asked the question, what keeps you from knowing and loving God better? And the number one answer was, I'm too busy. You have one life to live, and you can only do it one square at a time. And you look on that calendar, that is the board in your game of life. Now, since you have managed to work worship into your life when so many other things are pulling at you, it might be wise to hear from God of the universe, his son Jesus, and I have some scriptures that I would like for us to read together to help us kind of focus on things. And I'd like us to read them together here. First one is Psalm 46:10. Let's read it. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. And then the scripture where Jesus was talking to his disciples about all these squares and the stuff of life. Let's read Matthew 6. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O man of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. And then let's read Psalm 90, which is supposedly Moses wrote. Here we go. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. So let's consider where we are. As the psalmist says here, teach us to count, or maybe make them count, our days that we may gain a wisdom of heart. We should live each square as best we can in this game of life. Now, I hate to tell you this, but I've done the research. Everybody dies. Smokers and non-smokers, joggers and vegetarians, alcoholics and teetotalers, men and women. We all die. Now, for those of you who get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to go exercise and you eat vegetables all day long, occasionally you should just sleep late and eat ice cream. In the game of life, as usual, there is no space for what we say matters most. And the world will squeeze you into its mold for your life. We don't have time to pursue the kingdom of God. Some people wait for their lives to get less demanding before they apply themselves to the things of God. If I have any of those people here today, Well, let me give you a piece of advice. You're probably going to wait a long time. You know, we live in a fallen world, and if you wait for days to get easier before you get around to what matters most, you may wait a long time. Some of us think that we can squeeze everything into our little squares on that board of life as we kind of microwave our priorities in the game. But actually, that doesn't work either. And all we're doing is actually, we are really doing guilt management. We feel like we have to do everything, so we microwave it. If the devil can't make you bad, he will make you busy. And either way, you miss out on the life that God intended for you to live. So here's a radical idea. When you start the square on your calendar, which is the board of your game of life, begin by devoting your time that day to God. You need to trust God with your time. Start your day empty and put God in it first. Start with what matters most. Every square on that calendar, which is your board, is a move in your life. Your turn in the game of life takes place every day. Nobody knows how many squares you or I have, and we need to choose how we're going to use them. You must choose. You must choose. Not your boss, not your business, not your corporation, not your kids, not your spouse, not your friends, not your parents, not your environment. Because one of the things that we do is we play the victim a lot of the time. But we don't have to. We can choose. It is so tempting to think that our jobs and our families, friends, and environments are running our lives and the years just go by so fast. I want you to know a great truth. President Obama and you have exactly the same number of seconds every day. God has given each of us a day with the same amount of time, and it is enough time to live as God wants us to live. And when we look at our game boards, our calendars, one of those squares will be terminal. We don't know which one it will be. And so when we come to the last square and we walk through that invisible door to the last square and we can't find the door to the next square, we really have only two options. The first option is a coffin, casket, or a box filled with your ashes. You know, I do a lot of funerals. And I say a lot of different things at those funerals. And it kind of depends on the family and the circumstance of the death. It also depends on the spiritual disposition of the person who has died, or maybe the spiritual disposition of the family that's involved. It all depends on the situation. When my father died, my brother and I had opportunity to talk some truth without upsetting the family, because you don't get to do that usually. But we decided we could say some things and we weren't going to worry about upsetting the family because that was us. And this is the message, the essence of that message. Every casket has a story. The person in that casket was a real person who had hopes and dreams. Some of them were realized and some of them were not. But there is a casket in that. And in that is a story. The person, mistakes were made, wisdom was gained, relationships were developed or destroyed. Every casket has a story. My father's story ran for 98 years. And on the day of the funeral, which was a few days after the last square on my father's calendar, we told his story. His successes, his failures, his relationships, his faith, and the incredible amount of technological and social change that he experienced, and how he was a man of God. I know this, If he'd been alive to hear it, he would have been embarrassed and probably proud at the same time if he had heard what his two sons had to say that day. At the end of it, though, he probably would have said, "Yes, I know. There is a story in every casket, including mine. But there is also a casket in every story." This is how we all end up. You have a choice to make. You get to choose between life in Jesus or dying in sin and living your life meaninglessly. There's no way around that. Ecclesiastes has a very significant verse for all of us, and I'd like us to read it together. Ecclesiastes 11:8. Here we go. "For if a man lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. For if a man lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let us remember that the days of darkness will be many." Let me give you my paraphrased version of that. You're going to be dead a lot longer than you're alive. So you might want to consider what you're going to, how you're going to spend that all that time. I bring this up because even though every casket has a story, we can be assured that every story has a casket. Which brings me to option number two in the last square on the calendar of our life. When that square comes up and we walk into it and we find that it isn't a box or a casket or a coffin at all, because it does have a door in it. After all, the four walls of that calendar square melt away and time is no more. And our real life, far from being over, turns out to have just begun. Our hope comes down to a promise from Jesus that he made, that the second option is the real option. That through Jesus Christ and the salvation which he gives, the last square in the game of life opens into a new world where everything is set right. Now, which option do you choose as you play your game in life? If you choose option two, then one day we'll enter into this new world. But in the meantime, I suggest you play the game of life wisely and fill your squares with what matters most. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we live each day. Help us to live as your people, making the most of the time. Teach us to count our days that we might be wise children. In Jesus' name, amen.